given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20 on the Church Bibles, page 983. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you all, and praise God, what a wonderful worship time we had. Let us commit our time to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you the glory. And Lord, we come before your throne of grace, hungry and thirsty, desiring to hear even more, desiring to know even more your will for each one of us. And Lord, as I open my mouth to bring your word to your people, I ask in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the thoughts of my mind be pleasing to you, my Lord, my God, my rock. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I must say that I have no idea who chooses the music. Is it the rector? Is it the church administrator? Or is it one of the worship leaders? I have no idea. And they had, who did you choose our music? Well, whoever did choose, they, I can guarantee, had no idea, at least from me, that what I was going to preach. And what you, John, got up and said, we didn't say even properly hello to each other. And I tell you that this is how God's Spirit works. Separate places, totally different. And if these passages seem very familiar to you and say that, well, something boring, what I have heard already before. What you do, you analyze the songs, the hymns we sang, remind what John said, and listen what I am going to say. And it will be actually, I am just repeating what has already been said or sang. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Well, let me begin with the New Testament passage, and that particularly to start with the place where Jesus and his disciples went. It is, just to make sure that you are awake, what's the name of the place? Caesarea Philippi. Well, this was a place, or is the place, at the far north side of the land of Canaan. Some, I think, 25 miles to the east-north of the town of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, the Nazareth, where he grew up. It is located at the source of the Jordan River at the foot of the Mount Hermon. And there is this amazing natural or strange phenomena that when the snow melts on the mountain and the water goes through the crack into the mountain and it comes out somehow beneath the actual surface of the River Jordan. So snow is melting, water is going down, and there is some kind of a hole beneath the river, and it comes out from there. Did you get it? That and for that, such a strange phenomenon, the place was obvious place for superstition and for all sort of worships. I guess some of us definitely would know that the name of this place was changed. Its first name was Peneas, which comes from the Greek god Pan, who was worshipped there. But at the time of Jesus, there were at least 14 temples within the city which were dedicated to the worship of Baal. But all these and other temples within the city walls were overshadowed by another temple which was on the top of the mountain. And that temple was dedicated to the worship of Caesar. So I hope you got a sort of a little taste of the place. Amazing phenomena, full of places of worship, but yet those places of worship even looked small because there was a temple for the worship of a celebrity, Caesar. So on this place, which was a center, or call it a center of religious plurality and the celebrity worship, that Jesus asked these two questions. His first question was, as we read, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And the disciples' answer was, some say, others say, and still others say, Jeremiah, and still others say, well, one of those prophets. I don't know, was it just that, well, it's one of those prophets, or was there some reason that these three prophets were particularly mentioned, Baptist, Jeremiah, and Elijah. Many of the things, if you study the characters of these three great men, you will see that they were present in the life of Jesus. Maybe for that, I do not know. That this is when you are my age, and these sort of things, you try to make them to work, but somehow They don't behave the way you want them to behave. I think what I am going to do, because I have plenty of time on my hands, I am going to start to learn the sermon by head. That no use of these sort of machines. But back to that, where was that? What do people say, who am I, i.e. the Son of Man is? Wonderful views people had, great ideas. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the great prophets. You know that there are plenty of people, trust me, in the world, because forgive me saying this, that there is world beyond the Western world. And it is the other day I was stunned, first time I heard, and heard from the mouth of our respected rector, talking about others as the majority culture group. You understand what I'm saying? There is a world out there. Trust me, there is. And there is still plenty of people who has a great view of Jesus. Take, for example, Indian philosopher Dr. S. Radhakrishna. This is what he said, and I quote, "The religious truth is found in Plato and Upanishads." Upanishads are Hindu holy literature. "The religious truth is found in Plato and Upanishads. Its highest embodiment is in the life of Jesus." But you know, for Jesus, this was not enough that people think just highly of him, that he is one like Elijah, he is one like Jeremiah, and so on. Hence he asked the second question, a more personal question. And he said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And as we read, that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus respond? Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon." Please remember, he said, "Blessed are you," not Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah." And further on, "My Father in heaven is the one who revealed it to you." And then he made this prophetic statement and said, "And I tell you, you are Peter." Now he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." I guess those of you who are knowledgeable, who have dug deep into the scriptures, you know that this statement of Jesus, that on this rock I will build my church, has been a matter of a considerable debate over the centuries, not years, for the centuries. Some say it is Peter whom Jesus appointed, that it is upon that particular Peter, Apostle Peter, that he was going to build the church. Hence, the legitimate church in the world is the one which can trace back to the apostleship of Peter. Isn't it wonderful? Well, don't laugh on other denomination, whichever that denomination is, I'm not going to say, but trust me, many in your own denomination do think so as well. That unless it goes back to the apostleship of Peter, well, Yeah, they are kind of a church, but not the church. The second view is that Peter actually spoke here on behalf of all the apostles. Hence, Jesus was saying that I am going to build the church on your testimony. And they take their strength from Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, where what did John saw? He saw the great city, the New Jerusalem, which had how many foundations? 12 foundations, and on those 12 foundations are written the names of the 12 apostles. But there is a third view as well, and I asked you earlier that Mark, Jesus first said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, and that is about the word, a Greek word play in this place. First of all, Jesus referred to Peter as Simon. Do you know what Simon means? Great, if I got it wrong, I will get away with it. That it has two meanings. One is Simon equals hearing with acceptance. But there is an other meaning to it as well, and it means Simon equals R-E-E-D. Read, which is weak, which is pretty flimsy. That is why even earlier when Jesus saw him and he was introduced to Jesus as Simon, Jesus said, Simon, no, you will be Peter. Flimsy you may be. Your parents may thought that you are good for nothing, but you are going to be Peter. But also, if you look at your NIV translation, and the footnote, I think number B, says Peter means rock. But actually, that is a bit simplistic. When you go to the original Greek text, and I have checked it. Before I came here, I did check it. But because that says that when Jesus referred to you are Peter, he used the Greek word Petros. Petros, which actually means stone or pebble. And those who take this view, they say that when Jesus referred to Peter, he said, you are Petros, you're just a pebble, but I will build my church, on referring to himself, said, on this Petra, which is the rock. Petros, Petra. Did you get it? You are pebble, but I will build my church on the rock. Petra, referring to himself. I don't know. Maybe. But what do you think? Which one of these is correct? But as I go through, I hope I will, without saying it, reveal that which one I believe is the correct. That's my opinion. You may have a different opinion. Back to that Jesus was not happy with the first question and the answer. Hence, he asked the second, but what about you? And you know, to have a high opinion of Jesus is not enough. That's not enough. Because I believe, and believe very firmly, that every man and woman's destiny, eternal destiny, depends to the answer of that question. Who do you say? Who do you, rector, say? Who do you, madam, the mother of the benefice, say that who Jesus is? Who you, young man, full of the love of Christ, says personally that who Jesus is to you? And perhaps you would think that I am picking up what people are now unraveling and saying, that this about Jesus the only way was a theology developed when West was consumed with this idea that West and the rest, i.e., in other words, the exceptionalism of the Western world. But my friend, my information does not come from that attitude, because I spent most of my life in the West, but I was born, I grew up somewhere else. But it comes, and if you don't regard me a retired man who has passed his sell-by date and he is talking big things, I spent whole my life studying religions. And I say that Jesus is the only way to the Father, not because of any cultural exceptionalism, but evidence based on pre-Christianity religions, and I'm not talking now about the Old Testament, and the post-Christ religions, which all point towards this one, Jesus. Hence I say that every man, every woman's destiny depends on that answer. Who do you think Jesus is? They were out there for a retreat, for a quiet time. Why did Jesus ask this sort of deep questions? Could it be just possible that the reason Jesus asked, because Jesus wanted them to know that his time on earth was coming to end? And if you look verse, I think 21, that is what he started to then talk about, the suffering, etc., and so on. And he was that now you are going to be the witnesses. You are the one who are going to carry on this message, that any life which is built upon Jesus, that is the one which is saved life. You know, in every generation, God calls men and women, the church, to be the witnesses of that truth. In the first century, Christianity's first century, it were the apostles. And in the 21st century, my friend, it is you and me God has called. He has called to call people out from the darkness into the light of Christ. Yes, called not only few handful, but each one of you. I can see some people doing like that. Probably they are thinking, me? Yes, my friend, you. You. It is you. It is you God has called. God must have made some mistake. Well, he was not mistaken by Peter. He was given the name Simon. And read his character. Look the flaws, look his limitations, and yet it is to him Jesus was saying, on you, flimsy you may be, flaws there may be, but it is on you the church is going to be built, and the gates of Hades are not going to overcome. And I now want to move to the second passage. How does God use people like Peter, like me, and others maybe present even in this church who, like me, have got loads and loads and loads of flaws in them? How does God use us? Paul tells us, by equipping us with the gifts which are needed for building the church of Christ. I guess that we, most of us probably know that Romans is just one list. There are other lists, even by Paul, two other lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Ephesians chapter 2, where the list of these gifts are given. And I guess that three this and Peter's list as well, you put together, and I still believe, but they are just partial. They're just as an example that whatever is needed, that is given to the church to fulfill the ministry. And all those, and I believe each one of you, each one of us are called. Gifts are here. I was, you know, that one, it's still there. I thought it has disappeared. Called, committed, caring. It's wonderful, wonderful. Your plan for 5 years you have. Gosh, but then I will be 73. Wow. but each gift is here. That is not just to encourage you this morning, but that is a life spent serving my Savior. I haven't yet been, and it is not my charisma or not my, you know, that wisdom that I chose the church, go, that where all is happening, because I'm ethnically Punjabi. And the difference I often tell between the English and the Punjabis is this: English think first and then they do. We Punjabis, we do and say, oops, what did I do? You know, but wherever I went, each church I have been to had all the gifts needed to be the rock on which Christ builds his church. Amen. Gifts are there, but how do they work? And for that, if you have got a Bible in front of you on that passage, first of all, it says about a total surrender. You are called. Forget, don't focus on that this is lacking in you. You know that 35 years or whatever years when I completed my theology, because I was working among other faith groups, and their language was not my mother tongue, so I had to learn a number of languages, partially, not fully. And at home, the language was Finnish. I sang in Punjabi. I taught in Urdu. And just imagine when you are told that now you are going to go to start preaching in an English congregation on a regular basis, how did I feel? I went to the bishop, and it is very true, Bishop Rogers, some of you would know that Barking Episcopal area. I said, Bishop, I need to sort out my accent. He said, what's wrong with it? I said, there are 7-8 languages which are just going like this and this in my head. He tried to convince me, but I was adamant that no, I need to go. Trust me, I was sent to 2 different experts, Christians, and the lady who, I don't remember her name, who was more than just a professional in her profession, she was having the Spirit of the Lord. After a couple of sessions, he said that, Napo, what's the problem with your accent? Could you explain to me? I said, I don't know. I just only believe that people won't understand. She said, I understand every word. And then she said something very cheeky. And she said, do you think only I have got the Holy Spirit? Wherever you will go, they will have Holy Spirit as well. Lord will speak to them. You just go and preach. Flaws there may be in us. Whatever it is, first is to surrender fully to Him. Forget about, don't focus on those flaws. Focus on surrendering 100% to Him. And the second is to regard your gifts with sober judgment, isn't it? That is what Paul said. Sober judgment about your gifts. Some, obviously, and don't please take it wrong way, it is reality of human nature. Some, we do think that the gift I have got, it is greater than the other. Wonderful, whatever you are given, but don't think that the church starts and ends with you. Because if you do that, what you are going to do, before too long, you are going to go to your rector and say that I am on the point of burnout. And trust me, there are a number of people going to be within the congregation who are going to say that when am I going to be allowed to minister my gift? Think soberly if your gift is great. I praise God for that. Then, of course, are those who have a too low opinion of their own gift. I have met plenty in my ministry. Well, I am just, you know, that I'm just looking after kids. What greater thing would be? I mean that when you are sowing the seeds on these little lives, what greater gift than keep be other than that? Others I have met who would say that, well, I can't speak as wonderfully as that person. But friend, I am the witness. It is through your simple message that the Lord speaks more often than those who give complicated theological descriptions within their messages. Then, and these are the ones I particularly want to focus, then there are those who genuinely believe that they cannot be used. And I again want to refer to Peter. Remember him. Christ used him. Forget about the flaws. Forget about the weaknesses. Forget about what is you don't have. Christ will give. Just come to him with whatever he has given. To sum it up, obviously, Christ is the rock on which the church is built. But you, me, all of us, with all our flaws, with all our limitations, God has called each one of us to be the people who minister gospel. May God give each one of us the grace to think soberly of our gifts. If it is lacking, don't worry. You offer yourself. Rest, you will see how God does his work. Amen.